Da Bears.
Ready. Ready. 3, 2, 1.
Ooh. What is up? The boys are back. Guys, episode 81 of Da Bare Minimum Podcast. Today is Wednesday, August 8th.
I feel God in this chili. In this Chili's right
we've
now.
Done... Oh with God. The except like with all the extra ones that we've done in between, right. Like take two, take three, we've probably done about 100 of those intros. Cleanest one we've ever
cleanest
done.
Clap
ever
cleanest Incredible. Clap we've ever done.
We were speechless.
I'm happy to have that clap.
That was so good, guys. Join with the bestest friends in the whole world. Welcome back, boys. Sammy Stats is here.
What's good, everybody?
Producer Jake is here.
Howdy.
Dalla Dale is here.
Hey, everybody.
I'm Marcos, and again, we are Da Bare Minimum Podcast, guys. Facebook, Da Bare Minimum Podcast on Twitter. At Da Bare Min Pod, Instagram, Da Bare Min Podcast, Venmo always open, tip jars always open, at Da Bare Minimum on Venmo. My boys, it's been a couple weeks. Summer's gotten busy.
Couple two tree weeks.
But I am so excited to see you guys. My boys, how the hell are we doing?
We're doing awesome over on the far side of Aurora right now. Glad to see you guys. It's been a little while and I've missed a few, so getting back in the swing of things is always fun.
We've all missed a few. I think like summer's been busy.
Summer's been busy.
Summers are normally busy, and we're we're guys who, like, you know, we you play in a couple softball leagues, you try to golf, you do the podcast, you see your boys. It's like, hey, and by the way, like for three of the four people at this table, like then you sprinkle in like adding a baby, and then you guys have travel schedules. We've done this a couple times now in these episodes, but holy shit, is life busy.
The one thing that has helped recently is I'm now getting to the point where the baby sleeps more. So like for me personally, my nights have become like just at least an hour more available. So as the other two of you know, it's an awesome feeling.
I remember that feeling well until it ended.
It comes in waves.
The sleep well until not sleep well anymore.
We're taking
you become aware and it's like, yeah, oh well. Oh guys, I just got back from vacation. Took a little 7 days.
Northeast?
Yeah, we were in Maine for a couple days. And then we were in Boston for another like 3-4 days. Like it was just fantastic. Like our first family vacation, stayed at an Airbnb off the beach, like listen to the waves, real fucking like old man shit. It was just, dude, it was so cool.
That's very pure.
So dude, it was,
how'd the baby handle travel?
If my baby's listening right now, Enzo, if you're listening, you fucking trooper. Dude, he was awesome.
So proud.
That's awesome.
He was awesome. Played on the, and like everybody does the same thing, you know, like, oh my God, your baby's so good. Your baby's so well behaved. But like legitimately shout out Enzo, because it was super easy. Like,
were you getting compliments?
Yeah. On it? Like, holy shit, he is well behaved, dude. And now, the one thing I will say too that made it really easy with like travel and stuff is just the advent of like new different type of baby stuff, like accessories and like the fold-up strollers and the travel strollers and this type of carrier and even services. Like we rented a car seat from somebody there instead of like having to bring it and check it in.
Yeah, dude, amenities, baby.
It's super crazy. So like as long as you like are willing to put in like the research effort and stuff like that,
yeah,
like there's ways to make it easier. We're big on like we're not gonna let baby be the excuse for like why we're not doing stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Hop on a fucking plane, let's go do it. Like we're gonna do it us two anyways. We might as well just do it us three, you know what I mean?
So that's what I mean, we're finally at that point.
Yeah,
we're like, let's do stuff. Like
yeah it's brother.
Yeah, we my brother got married this past weekend. It was on the Never Eat Soggy Waffles coast of Michigan.
Very nice.
South Waffles coast of Michigan. But like we had a 3-hour drive, and he was awesome the entire time. The wedding, he was awesome the entire time. Dude, babies.
Yeah.
We're a baby podcast.
Did you get on your plane first? Did you take advantage of that?
Oh, yeah. You get on Flying Southwest. You get on after A, but before the B group.
Yeah.
You just stand there all proud. Like, yup, I'm on this motherfucker right here. Yeah, with that, like, oh. That was fun. That was a good time.
Good for you, dude.
I will say East Coast, one thing that like I was really excited for and it kind of not so fun was lobster rolls. I was like all excited. The one and only time I've ever had a lobster roll doesn't really count because I was having a good time, right?
Right.
And so I didn't really remember it much. It's basically just like chicken salad, but with lobster. It's really, really expensive chicken salad sandwich.
That's what I was trying to tell you. I'm gonna eat so many lobster rolls.
I'm fuck me. They
lobster
serve
or don't
on a hot dog bun. Like
Basically,
not it's just even a, like a Kaiser roll.
Well, it's like a New England style, like sure, split I do open top their, or whatever.
Yeah, their bun game is.
It's just like $30 for like.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
Like, do they have hot dogs out there?
Yeah.
Like what? What's their style of hot dog?
This is America.
I know. So I asked that question wrong. I apologize. What I should have asked is, what is like the go-to street vendor style dog out there?
See, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not you. Oh. I wasn't looking to check out the hot dog scene
in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Poor at best.
That's as bad or worse than Mexico.
Nothing will ever be as bad as that hot dog. I will never forget. I knew she was going to be my wife because I told her it was a bad hot dog. She's like, oh, honey, come here. It's going to be okay. Please.
All time.
Cry on
moment.
My shoulder. It's going to be okay.
All time.
I did eat really good. The clam chowder, super good. Clam chowder, super good. East Coast pizza. East Coast pizza, like, really good. Thin crust. Had a couple good pies while I was out there.
Turns out. A lot of pizza is really good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good deli sandwiches.
Some of the best pizza I've ever had is in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh. Cool.
In New Haven, Connecticut has.
Weird flex.
Is a top. There's one street with like six different pizza joints just down the road. And all of them are rated like some of the highest in the U.S. Oh, yeah. We got.
What are we going to do with these?
Well, we have to drink them. Do we drink them one at a time? So,
by the way, it's Wednesday, August 9th. August 8th. I'm looking at this calendar. I'm like, oh, shit, I got another day of vacation still. I'm like, I got to go back to work till the 10th. Today's the 9th. Sorry about that.
Party's over.
We drinking these?
Or it's just beginning.
Yeah, Sam iced us before the podcast.
And then out of respect for the four, he iced himself. Cheers.
Cheers.
Where we go together.
Screwdriver ice.
Okay, so these guys are drinking it with a straw out of a sippy cup.
My headset almost fell off. So.
It's like some. It's like orange juice.
That's Sunny D.
It is
Sunny D. It literally just tastes like Sunny D.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I didn't hate that. Ah, yes. All right. Now that we got our minds right.
So, guys, speaking of August 9th, can you fucking believe summer's over? Not really. But
not really. But I'm still golfing. Summer's over when I stop golfing.
Yeah, I mean.
Summer is over when I say it's
then
over.
Summer's going to be over in, like, November then, dog, because we're going late this year.
Woo.
December.
I love this. Love that energy.
Oh, Jake I'm likes like, once late. Again. I got mornings now. Yes, dog, let's
I'm
go.
I am back. Yeah. I'm excited for football. You got first preseason game coming up. We'll get into all of training camp updates so far and just a little kind of look ahead into the game. I want to talk to you guys about one thing real quick that I noticed or that I saw that I don't know if I've been as obsessed with this with something as I've been obsessed with this. The Alabama peer fight, the boardwalk fight.
So you had sent that. It was my brother's wedding weekend, so I was a little tied up. You sent that it was an Alabama brawl, so I thought you meant University of Alabama
too.
Sports something. So I was looking up University of Alabama brawl, and I couldn't find anything. And then I just hop on Reddit for a second and see the, what is it? What's the city's in Montgomery?
Is it yes. Gulf Shores?
Yeah, it's in Montgomery.
Oh. I think it's Montgomery. Yeah, I see that brawl. Oh, my Lord.
How many people? I still haven't watched it.
Oh, my God.
Dude, it's got to be 20, 25 people easily that are in this through from like start to finish. And what's so
easily.
Have you watched it,
no.
Jake? So what's so cool about this, and like long, long story short, but you got to watch this. Like, it's really cool that with the invention of cell phones and everybody has their phone out now to capture everything.
4K Google Pixel.
Dude,
or whatever.
You're seeing this from like every single angle imaginable.
In good quality.
There's a ferry that wants to dock at a like a little pier that's there, but there's a pontoon boat and it's some white folk in there. They're all sun soaked. They must be ornery. Been drinking all day in the sun.
They ornery.
They don't want to move that pontoon boat. So one of the employees that's working on the pier, who works for the ferry company, gets in their pontoon boat and moves that shit. They'd been floating there trying to wait for them to move it for like 30 to 45 minutes. You got a schedule. You got other ferry tours that are going. Get the fuck out of the way. So dude moves their pontoon boat. Black dude proceeds to get just his ass whooped by like eight white people.
The guy that moved it?
I think that you're missing an important part. There's originally, it's one white guy that kind of just runs at him and kind of lunges at him and like pushes him back. And the black guy, as soon as he is affronted, he does a visible stop, grabs his hat, and chucks it in the air like it's graduation.
15, 20 feet high, easy.
To signal to everyone about that, oh,
it's about to go down.
Like, okay.
I need help. Right.
And so,
that's
like,
a signal flare.
It was like a bat signal, and people. So he ended up getting jumped by like four or five guys. And of course, just optics wise, they're all white. Well, that boat. I'm sorry, I took over. Go ahead. No, finish the story.
Well, what's dope is that, like, in this whole situation, there's employees on the ferry who are coworkers with this guy getting his ass whooped that can't go help him because they're out in the middle of the water. So as that boat is docking, you see everybody just ready.
Like a bullpen.
Like, dude, like at the beginning of like the opening college football weekend, like everybody standing in front of the banner in the tunnel ready to get out of there. As soon as they get within fucking jumpable distance to that pier, shirts off,
they ascend.
Game over.
People and with chairs are coming out of the water.
Folding chairs. You got white women getting thrown into the water. It was, guys, it's one of the most incredible pieces of cinema I've ever seen. Barbenheimer, don't need them. Alabama River Brawl, inject that shit into my veins.
You'll see someone that has been affectionately coined Aquaman. It's this teen that, like, it, as soon as it went down, he was on the boat and said, nah, they're still a good ways off, jumps in the water, swims ashore, jumps up, starts throwing punches. Like, no hesitation. So it is just...
You see him, like, leap off
tremendous.
The ferry?
Oh, he leaps off the ferry and swims from the ferry to the boardwalk.
Just to throw hands.
Up there, just to go throw hands with this guy. Who, like, let's be real... Like, don't get me wrong. I like my coworkers. Omar, if you're listening, I love my coworkers. But, like, dude.
Lovely.
Like, yeah, Lee too. I don't know if I'm, like, I'm not fighting for most of my coworkers. I'm not.
There's, like, three. There's and I've like been three. There 6 years.
Yeah, like, I'm not fighting for most of them, dude. But, like, dog, these dudes were ready to fight. So, if you haven't watched it, do yourself a favor. Take like one of those deep, you know, those like right before bed, 9:30, 10 o'clock, you're laying in bed. You're like, I'm just going to do a little scrolling before I go to bed. And you go down like a 45-minute rabbit hole. Let that be the rabbit
absolutely.
Hole.
That's what I'll do.
Let
tonight.
That be
that's
the rabbit hole
that
you guys dive
agenda.
Into.
That's on the menu.
Juice of that. Well done.
Anything else you guys want to get into now? I think we should move on because we got a lot of Bears stuff to get into.
Let's fucking roll.
Guys, and let's get into it. All right, so training camp today marked the end of day 12 of Bears training camp. It's been an up and down kind of training camp so far, more positives than negatives, and it's much better than we can say maybe this time last year, 2 years ago.
What's your number one positive then?
So my number one positive and some of the stuff that we've missed, we'll go into two of them. Props to us because we are fucking oracles here, and we talked about that Cole Kmet extension getting done before the season started.
That was awesome.
That was maybe a
good
day
for
or
us.
Two afterwards.
Yeah. Good for us.
So it was really
credit,
good.
Please. Wherever it's due.
I really like that. I like that signing. I think that accomplishes a lot of things. One, it locks up a young, like, pass-catching tight end in a league where you're just verticals. Like, and Cole Kmet's shown with that last year that he had. He can do it. And if you season him and you put him in the right situation and he's not the number one guy, he will continue to flourish and take some of that pressure or some of the eyes away from him. Great. Like, I think it's also important for the culture and the, like, the dynamic that you're trying to set in this locker room. Like, if you're Ryan Poles, you've to this point done nothing but tear down. This was the first multi-year extension that Ryan Poles has given up.
They're willing to keep
what
people here.
What better way to not only sign, like, you sign one of the guys that, like, is a young guy, was drafted, is on his rookie deal, but more importantly, you showed that you're willing to sign a guy that wasn't your guy. So if you're a guy like Darnell Mooney, if you're a guy like Chase Claypool, if you're Jalen Johnson, hey, reasonable people here. I produce. I could get paid.
Yep.
I think it's mutual for everybody, but it was really, really, really good to see that. I'm happy for Cole Kmet, a local guy. And I don't think it was like, I think 4 or 5 years from now, what was that contract like?
It's like 5 for 50 something.
Yeah.
I want to say.
So, I mean, I think it's like,
it's a good deal. But did one of you guys send the stat? In the
4 for 50.
With like
33 essentially guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean Cole Kmet, he's 23 years old.
Yeah.
So, and no tight end has as many touchdowns, catches, yards as him at age 23.
You hope that
he's
like,
young. He's young. That's the number one thing, is he's young and he's establishing himself. It's a great extension.
This contract is one of those where, like, on a 4-year deal, like year two after the next wave of tight ends are getting paid, like, he's not going to be like right now. Yeah, sure. He's probably making like third most AAV out of everybody.
I would doubt that in a heartbeat.
He's top 10.
I would put him at top 10, but like you got to think Mark Andrews is making money. Travis Kelce's making money.
Well, the
TJ
contract
Hockenson's
was
making, like
it's based off of how good he is compared to his peers in stats. That's kind of what they're going to gauge his contract off. So being top 10, his stats reflected that with touchdowns.
Well,
last
agreed,
year.
But I think Marcos is getting at a great point as you look at how this contract is going to compare to others. Like Kyle Pitts is going to get paid in 2 years. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, throw that number for up what? There. What about the tight ends that just got drafted? Like, two or three are going to be pretty good, a lot of people think. He's going to be a around top 10 tight end, and he's probably going to get paid around a top 15, 16 tight end, I would guess. Something in that range would be reasonable.
Inflation.
Absolutely. But, like, the point is smart signing. You're saving yourself a couple bucks. This is like getting TJ Edwards on an almost discount.
Yeah.
Like, just another smart signing to just keep this roster going.
You are, though, just assuming, though, that he produces more than he did last year. Because last year he only produced in the red zone.
Absolutely. But I also...
Which, again, is worth money.
Necessary.
Oh, yeah.
Is worth money.
It goes back to, like, yeah, what was the goal of this team last year?
Agreed.
Because it wasn't to throw the ball to Cole Kmet in any way.
Well... And even, like, to this point, I mean, he gets better in the run blocking and he gets better in those other parts. You, like Jake's saying, you definitely want to see him be better between the 20s.
Yeah.
You know? But for the most part, like, good contract. I'm not upset about it. Homegrown guy. Like, one of our guys.
Oh.
I'm super stoked about this.
Better offensive line. Less blocking responsibilities. Like, all around better situation. And it takes that weight off a guy who's going into his fourth year of his rookie deal. I love it. Just love it.
And speaking of smart moves, and a move that I think we all kind of wondered why it hadn't happened yet, but always knew that it was in the works, or at least could happen. Yannick Ngakoue, finally a Chicago Bear, 1 year, $10.5 million with $10 million guaranteed.
Correct.
I cannot say enough about this one.
Did you see Poles' press conference?
Yes.
After it?
Hey man, he gave a press conference for Ngakoue and Mercedes Lewis assigning the 39-year-old entering his, I believe, 18th or 19th season.
I just love the piece where he says, you know, today's a good day. You know, I finally get to answer everybody's questions.
Yes.
Where it doesn't matter where I'm at, whether it's the grocery store, my son's baseball game, everywhere I go, all
the beach at Maui.
All
like
I hear is, you gotta sign an end. You gotta sign a defensive end.
Need a pass rusher.
Well, need a pass rusher.
Well, he signed one that has never had less than 8 sacks in a season.
And he signed one that combined, that had more sacks than our other two combined.
Oh,
last
yes. So I think it was stacked like, as of now, Yannick Ngakoue has something like, it's for sure sacks, and I believe it's for sure tackles for loss, but also pressures, or rather hurries, than all other defensive ends on the Bears combined.
That makes sense.
Plus, I cannot wait to scream Yanni at my TV.
Yanni!
So, like, of the pass rushers remaining, it was him and Justin Houston, who ended going up to the Panthers. Both teams were considering both players, they said. Both players produced around 8 or 9 sacks last year. Now Houston's a little older, costs a little less.
But I think he does a little bit more than just pass rush.
Correct.
Is that the idea?
That's the big knock for Yanni, is that his run defense is poor. But the Bears are saying they view him as a 4-down player, which is not difficult given the competition, let's be honest.
True.
But still, like, I think great signing because, again, how much money do we still have?
Well, and it's really weird because, like, there's almost one of those, like, what's not adding up to me? Like, this is Yannick Ngakoue's sixth team in 5 years, I believe, or fifth team in four years? Something
five
like
years?
That. But, like, he hasn't stuck anywhere. He hasn't been able to get that long-term deal. But he's never had on any team like Samson.
I think that's his choice, though.
I mean, I would think that, like, from what you hear behind the scenes, and, like, even last offseason when they were looking to get a contract extension, I wrote a piece that somebody on The Ringer did or something like that. But, like, he's been looking for contract extensions. Everybody that has played with him. Like, he's a good locker room guy. He works his ass off. Again, he's a professional, like, pass rusher. That is what he is. You're getting this guy in here. You're paying him $10 million. Hey, whatever you can give us. It's the Zach LaVine approach of, like, the football field. Hey, you can't play defense, and we know you can't play defense, but go get buckets.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing with Ngakoue. Like, hey, whatever you give us in the run in the run game is the run game. But, like, you get a guy who is a good quality pass rusher that will learn, and you only got him for 1 year.
Well, I think it's a really good move for him because he signs a one-year deal here. You know, if we look – if we're on the rise at the end of this year and he's a stud on the line, like, he sets him up himself up for a huge payday.
Agreed.
At that position.
Bingo.
And looking at this, like, the whole five teams in 5 years, which I'm looking at it, that's pretty skewed because, okay, he's got his four-year contract as a rookie with the Jaguars. He's got a one-year deal with the Vikings, who trade him to the Ravens. He has 8 sacks that season. Like, that's not a bad season. Then he just has 2 one-year deals. Like, he's just had now 3 one-year deals. Like, it doesn't point to him being a team cancer.
Where were,
like,
the other one-year deals?
He played a year in
Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Excuse me. He just played a year in Indianapolis and got 9.5 sacks. And then he played a year in, I think it was still Oakland in 2021. Maybe it was Las Vegas with the Raiders. And he had 10 sacks. Like, he's been productive.
He's going to do what he's being paid
to do.
He's
not the best end in the league. No one thinks that.
No one's
so
like, hey, he's dropping
he's
into
get that. I don't know.
Coverage.
Maybe it's not fair.
Down.
I think
he's
cool.
On.
It's just one of those, like, it's there's not a lot of risk for anybody. There's not a lot of risk for the Bears.
Right.
We need a
pass rush.
You still needed to spend the money. Yeah. So you found the best pass rusher that was still available, that was linked to the Bears a lot of the offseason.
And without leveraging everything.
Yeah. You're able to, hey, if it kind of crashes and burns and he's not what we're hoping he is, great. You didn't tie up any long-term money. We're good. And if he ends up balling out and we can pay him, great. Keep a guy that, like, you gave a shot to. And if not, move on. You've got a bunch of draft picks in the next couple of years. Let Yannick Ngakoue be a placeholder. Fine. But I'm really excited for that. Those two, at least, little bits of news. Guys, a couple other camp stories that we've kind of heard about. We'll start with Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool apparently has put together a really, really nice camp.
I heard this.
But I thought the first part of the camp was that Chase Claypool was having a bad camp.
And that's the weird, like, it's now that we're like 12, 13 days into this, you've stacked a couple of these practices. He did get hurt today, but nothing crazy. It sounds like it's just a minor hamstring pull. He was still a part of activities and stuff, so nothing crazy. But, like, chemistry's good. I'm hoping that this Chase Claypool story and the kind of rhetoric that we talked about all offseason with him and the distractions and stuff, I hope that it was just fodder. I hope that it was just filler for meatheads like us to talk about when we're talking about the Bears and he goes out there and is a legitimate option for Justin Fields in this offense when we come out.
So on the Chase Claypool note, is it safe to assume that he is the preference to be re-signed over my presumed all-time Bears leading receiver?
I don't think so.
Well, you've invested a second round. I know we give them a tough time about it being the 32nd pick of the draft, but, like,
Tyler Scott,
I mean, you fucking invested in it. At the end of the day, you did. So does that do
I don't think so
that,
well I don't think polls.
Do you think they re-sign one of them though?
Well, one of them's controlled for 4 years.
No, they're
well,
both
no,
expiring. This,
both of them have 1 year left on their deals.
Oh, talking Claypool
we're talking about
and
Mooney.
Mooney.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
So far, Pace has not shown me to be the guy that will just sign out of pride. Because that's a pride move at that point. You're like, I gave up this.
I couldn't be wrong on this, so I'm doubling down.
I'm doubling down. Right. Yeah. I respect it more to just be like, well, didn't work. We're moving on. You know, and just saying done.
Yeah, like doubling down, I think, and that's the one where, like, in a position like that, like running one of these or these franchises, you need to have the ability to, like, hey, I'm gonna throw some shit at the wall here. I'm gonna see if it sticks, and if it doesn't,
yeah,
fine. But I'm not gonna sit here and wait a long time. You have to have a short memory.
Well,
you have to keep moving.
And Mooney, if you don't re-sign him, wouldn't you? You'd get a comp pick, wouldn't you?
Something like that,
something?
Because he's your guy. And
yeah.
I mean, I think that, like, ideally, in a perfect scenario, Claypool and Mooney make it really easy for the Bears. They both have really productive, good years, and you're talking about contract extensions with those guys too. Like, and at that point, if you're Ryan Poles and they both played well, and in the back of your mind, you're like, look, I'm only going to sign one of these two because I've got rookies that I want to continue to cycle in. That's a good issue. That's a great, great issue. It's better than last year having Equanimeous St. Brown and Dante Pettis be your ones and twos.
Come on.
So, like, to have that be your problem is just a night and day difference from where we were at this time last year.
Yep.
So, from a... like the trend that everybody's talked about so far, this Justin Fields DJ Moore connection is real.
Feels like, nice.
Real, real. And from what everybody says is DJ Moore just looks like a true professional wide receiver in everything that he does, in his route running and his hands, his ability to catch the ball, create separation. Everything that that dude does is just better than most people you've ever seen play that position do it, at least in our uniform.
In our uniform, for sure. I've always thought about that, about DJ Moore. I've been a fan of his for a while now. Stoked that we got him. I've always viewed him as a, you know, fantastic wide receiver. So I'm stoked just to see what he does for the Bears.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it, guys. We'll do a quick look ahead, and I don't really want to look ahead to this because it's preseason week one, but the Bears do face the Tennessee Titans. They're in Chicago on, what is that, the Saturday game? Yeah, it's Saturday at noon. There actually is a line to this. We've got...
Saturday at noon preseason is right.
Feels right.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Bears are 3.5-point favorites.
Cool.
Crazy.
Cool.
Bears are 3.5-point favorites, and the total is 37.5. I'm not touching this.
Not that it matters, but I also saw that, like, Vrabel's not coaching.
Yeah, who's his...
he's giving his assistant the opportunity to, like, coach a game.
See that.
I forget his name.
I'm not gonna guess because I'll be dumb.
I'm
gonna fucking botch that. I'm
how do you handicap a preseason?
That's exactly game? What I'm saying. Like, because, you know, especially with this one. So, like, the reason I'm bringing this up is because... Eberflus confirmed today in a press conference after practice that the starters will play every one of them is going to be kind of categorized differently, but some of them will get 7 to 10 plays, some of them will get 12 to 15 plays, right about there. And then after those one or two series,
right,
that's it. And then you got Nathan Peterman and the Fighting Velus Jones.
Peterman,
you got Trevis Gibson and these guys, like, on defense. Like, that's it.
Trevis Gibson... he might play, like, regular.
Play a lot in the
he will play,
middle.
He will play regularly. You guys are right about that. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just really weird. Like, how do you ever handicap those games? But if there's degenerates out there willing to throw money at it, they'll find a way to make a line on it.
You're looking at a few of them.
Have you ever seen that video? It was Patriots versus Jets in a preseason game. Ugh. And I think it was Edelman. Because Edelman was undrafted, right?
He was either undrafted or late.
And Edelman was playing in this preseason game. He came in, like, halfway through and received,
out of,
like,
Kent State.
Received, like, had four touchdown receptions in, like, the second half of this game.
Seventh round.
And who was the Jets coach? Big guy. Has a brother.
Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan was the coach. And he's at the end of the game, he's after, like, the third touchdown, he's like, holy shit. Who is this guy? Because after the first one, the D coordinator's in the booth and he's like, wow, that was nice. And then the second one, he's like, oh my God. And the third one, Rex Ryan's like, you got to be shitting me.
That's awesome.
After the game, he goes up to Bill Belichick. He's like, you got a special one there.
I never heard that. That's a good one. I get the university right though.
Yeah, it is Kent State.
Yeah, nailed it.
you're so good at that. So yeah, like, starters are going to play 12 to 15. What I think it's important now with preseason that hasn't been too important the last 2 years for us is, like, now you get to look at your depth pieces. Like, you really get to look at your depth pieces. Last year and 2 years ago, you had depth pieces as starters. Like, you had fours and threes running as ones and twos. So now you get to see how, like, these guys, or these third and fourth string guys, let a guy like Noah Sewell go out there and make mistakes. You know what I mean? Let a guy like Ja'Tyree Carter go out there and just play. Give him reps, give him time, and see what you've got. Because you basically know what your starters are going to look like here. And in an episode here coming up soon, we'll do, like, a full roster dive, but we just don't have the time for it today. But, like, you're going to see these depth positions and these guys going at it and fighting for these roster spots. And that competition wasn't there recently. So I would say, all in all, guys, arrows pointing up on the Chicago Bears. Anything else you guys want to get into?
Bears.
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 Bears. Guys, let's get into some sports minutes. We'll go around the city of Chicago, touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. We will start with the Chicago Blackhawks. Producer Jake, take it away.
No news. Dude, I got nothing.
I'm the same way with the Bulls.
I got nothing.
Radio silent?
Radio silent. It's, yeah. I mean, I don't – there's nothing happening right now.
We still have a presents franchise? Question.
We still got a
Do you want to talk about happy things or do you want to talk about sad things?
Sad things.
Take it away, Jake.
Take it away, Jake.
I'm sad. Oh, wait. It's been 3 weeks. I've got Rocky Words died.
Yes. It has been. Yeah.
Yes.
Pour one out.
Was he the one who said, let's get these fuckers back on television?
As soon as his dad died.
Let's start making some money again.
Basically, he's the reason the Blackhawks became what they were.
Good for him.
In the 2010s. So that was sad. More sad news. The White Sox are also dead. Just deader than dead.
They're so dead.
So got to talk about it. Yeah, like 12 feet under at this point.
Who gives the eulogy?
They double dug the grave.
Tony La Russa.
Oh.
I'm me.
Drake LaRoche.
So you guys don't want to ask questions or...
Frank,
because I've got a few.
The hard part with this, Jake, is like literally, dude, this is such a dumpster fire.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you start when the whole house is on fire?
It's bad from like obviously the record to the... like catty articles that are coming out about like culture in it, and the whole thing is bad.
So let's take it one by one. What are your thoughts on the fight and that paper jaw of
that's a great place to start, just a wild scene.
The porcelain fact that he dropped them so confidently.
I know,
put him up all right, like, Jose, let's go.
The best part about it is, guys, he squared up. He's a right-handed person, and he squared up southpaw. You didn't think that he was going to put hands up with you.
No, he didn't.
Okay, trust tree here. You guys have all at one point in your life squared up in front of the mirror. You've all at one point squared up in front of the mirror. You're looking, and you said, look.
I did it this morning.
If I was going to fight somebody, this is how I'm walking up into the fight. T.A. practiced that. T.A. knew in some situation in my life, fuck around, find out. I'm gonna have to get the hands up. Come on, motherfucker, what's up? And that's what you did. Couple little shimmies.
It was the body shot for
and
me.
He threw a body shot. What are you throwing body shots for? This
head body, fight, head baby. Body, head body.
You have in a head baseball body. Fight. You, oh, have,
that,
you have
that accent just sent me to East Coast immediately again.
Sorry.
No.
In a baseball scrap, you have maybe 5 seconds before the entire team is on top of you, holding you back. You're taking body shots?
Unless you're the White Sox and your teammates don't care about you. And props to that umpire.
Oh, he got the fuck out of there.
Dude, he must have been a hockey ref.
He stayed in there for a minute. He tried. He tried to slow him down.
Once gloves dropped, he ran. Dude was in center field before Tim Anderson's ass was ever on the infield.
Which, by the way, respect, he went, oh, these are professional athletes.
This is above my pay grade.
I'm not going to get in the middle of this.
Yeah.
I get shit for
Well, you're not really supposed to. You're supposed to.
It's like teachers now.
Yeah, like teachers aren't supposed to break it up. They'll get knocked out too. So. It was just a bad look.
Bad look.
Wasn't a good one.
Bad look. Suspended 6 games, like $20,000.
Best baseball fight we've had in a while, though.
Since the Rougned Odor one.
Yeah.
Which, real quick, Elvis Andrews has been front seat to two of the best fights in MLB. Yes. And the best one-punch knocks
ever.
Props to Jose Ramirez for, like, that's the old close your eyes and just wind that bitch up from your ankle and just...
Also, just bad idea fighting Jose Ramirez. Like
he's
got,
thick.
He's like 20 pounds on you. Plus, he's denser than you. He's shorter. I mean, like, bad idea.
Bad idea.
Was he Cuban? Right.
I don't know.
I believe him to be Dominican. Don't quote me on that. Did you see that Jose Ramirez had reached out and like tried to like talk to TA, and TA did not respond.
Oh, he's on Twitter tweeting his feelings though.
They should do a rough and rowdy. They should.
This is for many examples. Like, let this be the one. Like, Tim needs a change of scenery. Like,
it's time.
If you're Tim Anderson, you're mad at Rick Hahn for not sending him at the deadline. He would have never been knocked out if he wasn't on this team anymore.
That's the best take I've heard.
Jake, what about the what's his name? Keenan.
Keenan Milton.
Keenan Milton.
Kenyon.
So he basically went scorched earth and
Jose Ramirez is Dominican.
Thank God. Yeah. So goes to the Yankees, gets traded to the Yankees. In an interview, starts talking like, "Oh, I couldn't wait to get there. As soon as I heard, I shaved my face. You know, I was all on board with the Yankees," saying that the White Sox, like, have no discipline whatsoever. Dudes are falling asleep in the dugout or in the bullpen, rather. He said one person in particular routinely fell asleep in the bullpen, and it was a rookie. I haven't actually looked into, like, which rookie that could be, because I thought that'd be a fun game. But said that it's been going on for more than this year as well. And that dudes show up late all the time to team meetings, and there's, like, no repercussions whatsoever. That it's just bad. And then I heard another interview. This was on, I think, Sunday Night Baseball or something. It's whatever one AJ Pierzynski broadcast.
It's fan with Lance Lynn.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, because Lance Lynn is now traded to LA, and so he's interviewing Lance Lynn, and Lance is like, you know, says something along the lines of like, I won't tell you he's wrong, or no, he's like, I won't tell you what he's right about, but I won't tell you what he's wrong about, and then he just sat there in silence. And AJ, oh, and for like after like 5 seconds, AJ is like, oh, I get it.
So
that's clever.
So with this being, and I can't believe that we're here because I feel like every couple of weeks, like we're talking about rock bottom for Jake's favorite baseball team.
I can go lower.
Like Jake, what is the, what's the fix here? Like what, how does this get fixed?
Change everything. I mean, change everything. It's all gotta go. I mean, from, and honestly at this, I really have never, I mean, you guys know my feelings towards Jerry Reinsdorf. I don't see him ever selling this team because that's his money maker. It's not like he has money anywhere else. It's the Bulls and the White Sox is his money, right?
Yep.
I don't see him ever selling the team. It'd be nice, I think, you know, to sell it to somebody that wants a team to, you know, to fund and to win or whatever, if that even exists. Regardless of that, top to bottom, everything's got to go. From Rick, especially Kenny. I can't fucking get over that. Everybody's got to go.
What does he know? What does he know?
Griffal, I'm sorry. You're a casualty of all this as well.
Sorry, Pedro.
Get the fuck out. And, dude, bring it down to even the minor leagues at this point. I don't care. Eviscerate the whole fucking organization. Start from scratch. And also, don't go hiring people from losing teams. Because I don't know why you hired the bench coach of the Kansas City Royals.
Who didn't even get looks at being their manager. Like, Jesus. they had a manager change there, and Pedro Grifol didn't even get an interview. What made you think that you were, like, playing
I'm also sick of, like, on Twitter, seeing tweets of, the White Sox 2025 pitching lineup. Fucking blow me. I don't. Are you fucking kidding me? These guys, like, are you kidding me? You think that's going to be the lineup in 2 years?
You sure about that?
Dude, I hate that shit. I'm so sick of rebuilding. Only once in the last 100 years have they won, you know, a playoff series. And they won 3 in a row. I'm fucking sick of it. God damn it. I'm still going to be a fan, but motherfucker, I hate them.
I think a very telling stat that I saw today about the White Sox was, do you guys know how many since the beginning of last year, how many home runs has a left fielder hit for the White Sox?
Since the beginning of last year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this isn't good.
Well, Eloy was hurt. You had Benintendi, who has like two. You had, fuck, who?
Is it single digits?
It's double digits.
Was it like 11?
It's 23.
Oh, okay.
23 home runs. Kyle Schwarber. And since the start
dude,
of
I don't
want
to hear about other outfielders because they all have more.
76.
Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber, between your left and right field positions together was like 50.
Dude, there's guys unreal. Like Conforto out there that have like 25. And it's just like they Rickon's always great at starting a rebuild. Terrible at the middle to end part where it involves A, drafting the best. Like, I also can't stand White Sox have a top 10 farm now. It's like, great. They can't supplement it. You're going to call them up in 3 years, and then they're going to be a bottom five. Like, they never draft to supplement that. They never develop to supplement it.
They never
so, like,
develop the guys that they call up in general.
So, like, the middle there is just awful. Because, like, you have guys that you think are going to be the leaders and ball players, but then if they don't pan out, then you have nothing to recuperate with, and you're just stuck at square one, which is actually like negative one at this point.
Michael Lorenzen just threw a no-hitter.
I saw that.
For the Reds.
Oh.
He's back on the Reds?
I don't think he left.
He was with the A's.
With the Angels.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you done being sad?
Oh, excuse me, he's on the Phillies. Sorry, I saw the hat and I was
sick. So
he's on
the Angels traded him at the deadline.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
To the Phillies.
Jake, you done being sad? Anything else?
But I
don't
know.
You want to talk about happier things?
Let's talk about happy things.
I don't know.
So the Cubs are somehow.
Sorry to get you down, buddy.
59 and 55 right
now. Told
you
guys.
Two games back in the division. They are actually the number three wild card team right now.
Down by a run right
as
we
they
speak.
They have been.
Down by two runs as we speak.
Down by two in the bottom of the six I just saw against the Mets. But, like, they went on the 8-game streak. They had a statement series win against the Braves. They set some record numbers versus the Reds with 20-16 in back-to-back games, which, by the way, 5-5 to bookmark those. So, like, fuck, dude. It's just a lot of runs.
Yeah.
A couple calls being the Candelario re-addition at the deadline.
Welcome back.
And paying dividends, like, you had a little bit of turmoil at some of the corner spots in the infield during the year, and you, like, some of the guys that you had brought in have already been sent out. We won't name names, but Candelario being a steady presence and a re-addition now to that infield has been refreshing. Ian Happ is on fire. Like, that's looking like a great signing. His ability to play anywhere helps this team a lot because there are still holes, but you want to let some kids play and you want to bring some guys up to see how it goes, so having him move around has been awesome, and like the Tauschman addition has been really solid to this point, to be honest.
Dude.
And Tyone is finally settling down.
Yes.
He's been awesome.
Good. Since the beginning of July, he's been
absolutely
good.
I think Justin Steele's got another couple quality starts in there recently. The boys are playing good.
It's fun.
They're a wild card team right now.
So what do you think about Jed holding at the deadline?
Yeah, like, I thought about, I knew I was, you were, someone was going to ask me that today, and someone was going to bring up the whole Bellinger thing.
Yeah,
and like, we
that's
didn't move
exactly
anymore.
Where my mind went. I love having him on this team. It just feels, I just want to know your opinion.
I have, honestly, today, since I've had that thought, I've changed my opinion a lot about the Cubs. Originally, I thought about them like the Bulls, where it's all, if you're not one of the best teams, there's just simply no point. But
it's
baseball, it's just
it's
more
baseball.
Fun. It's just more fun to watch
and
a
it's
team
weird.
Be competitive. It can be weird. Like, them holding at the deadline and now being a couple games over 500, two games back in the division, like, fucking, in a week, we could be talking about division leaders that have a seat in the playoffs. Like, why not? It's baseball. It's crazy. Cody Bellinger, like, it was a super fun to watch. We're now at the point of, should we extend Cody? Which, by the way, if
you
he wants
try.
To, the answer is yes.
You better try.
And if you're Cody,
you want to go get paid.
You know where it's really easy to hit home runs?
A place where there's a fucking basket catching all of them.
And a short right field.
Correct. Both of those things are really important to Cody Bellinger. Also, being a potential Gold Glove candidate outfielder most years, because he is still a
great
fielder.
Defense.
Having that much smaller of an out, like, all of these little things, the fact that they're rebuilding, but they do kind of have some pieces, like as a wild card team that's rebuilding, that's
with a farm in, system,
right?
Still
that
too.
Like that's encouraging. Maybe
get 4 years.
You
just
stick.
Get 4 years.
By the way, Cody, they paid you this year, like
17.
They
or something?
Did good by you. They did right, but why wouldn't you want to return there? Obviously, the fans love you. The organization sees something in you. Like you could say the same for Stroman, but obviously that situation's a little rockier. But regardless,
Cody could become what Chris Bryant was supposed to be for us. That face that you see every day that is your guy that tough. Like, I mean, could he? Could
Chris Bryant won an MVP?
I was going to say that's a weird.
Like, that's
mean,
a that's a long. What I'm saying,
but Bellinger
and a World Series.
And a World Series.
Bellinger has an MVP too.
What I'm saying is, be the face of that franchise and be successful for an extended amount of time. Like Chris was really good for 3 years. For two years.
He could be the extension of what Chris. Like he could, I guess.
You're right.
Pick up
I worded that,
baton
wrong.
In a
You're
100%.
I worded that funny. You're right.
Well. And I agree with Jake only because Chris Bryant was supposed to, after the first 3 years, like, fuck, dude, what's the limit for this guy?
70
and then they
home
found
runs.
Out, like, if you can round that big fucking loopy swing, he's not that great. Also, the man can't stay healthy. He is beautiful, but he cannot stay healthy. Too bad.
And
anyway,
that's that.
This is probably the most fun it's been since 2016, right? Like, the Cubs were hot to start the year. That was really cool. They cooled off. But then it's – we're past the midway – this like, so far past the midway of the season. Like, oh, this is – they're actually competitive.
This is a thing.
Like, Smiley's getting demoted. But you see the rotation firming up a little bit. Like, fuck, maybe we get a round or two. Maybe we win one playoff series.
That'd
Wouldn't
be
that be cool? Like the fucking White Sox can't say that.
That's what we did in
you know,
2015,
like,
remember?
Like insert team here. I'm sorry, dude. That was easy. That was a cheap shot. That's
if
on
this
me.
Were on
I
YouTube.
In your
Jake's
home, I apologize.
Cut through you.
Just zoned right, zoom right into his face.
Oh, yeah. If I could kill, I'd be dead. But anyways, yeah. It's really fun to be a Cubs fan right now, isn't it?
Yeah,
agreed.
Talk to us next week. You know, things change.
Do you guys, real quick on the Cubs, do you guys pay for Marquee?
No.
Yeah, I don't pay for Marquee either.
No.
The other day I was having a hard time finding a stream for it. I'm like, you know what?
It's getting harder to be
honest.
Like,
you know what? Let me just see how much Marquee is. I might just make an account. Let me see.
What is it?
$20 a month.
I think Marquee's, isn't it more than Red Zone?
Marquee is $20 a month.
That's more than Red Zone.
Yeah.
No, Red Zone's like a couple $100 now.
No, NFL Sunday ticket is like
that's what it
bucks.
Is. Yeah, the Sunday ticket is a couple hundred
yeah, I'm
bucks.
I'm just talking about Red Zone.
Red Zone's like $8.
Red Zone's like $8 or $10 a month. Yeah.
$20 a month.
Exactly.
$20
a month.
$40.
Like, I love the Cubs, but fuck.
$20? Like, sell me a buy the game at that point. I'll pay $1.19 to watch, like, or sell it to me by the series.
$1.99 by the game,
like
the amount of games I'm gonna catch.
I'll pay three, I'll pay $3.99 for a series.
$300 for, because they charge you for all the other shit too.
Like if I'm gonna, if I'm gonna go,
Dempster talk in an armchair.
Well, because they say we know we're only gonna get you for this many months, so we're gonna charge you for the other months too to make sure we still make our nut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, hey, fuck that.
Fuck that.
Fuck that.
Dale, anything else on the Cubs?
You got a TV network?
It's really
Jake?
Fun right now.
It's a blast.
I have changed my opinion. I am changing it to like I feel about fantasy series. Let this run be its own thing.
Yeah.
This is kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, having a blast.
The boys are playing well.
Ride the wave, man.
Let the run be the run.
Let the run be the run, Jake.
Oh,
yeah.
Man,
let the
it's
run
more
be
fun
the
to
run,
be a fan
Jake.
When they're doing well, isn't it?
Just ride the wave.
Sorry, homie. You want a beer?
I hate you guys.
I got this for you.
That's outwardly not true.
I guys, got that for you.
Let's move on. We'll get into drinking Sammy Stats. Question of the week.
Okay. This is a little would you rather for the boys.
Okay.
Would you rather
yes.
get the wrong food and drink completely random, no matter what, every time you order, and you can't do anything about it, or only be able to taste vegetables for the rest of your life?
Wrong food.
Yeah, wrong food. What's the point at that point?
What if it is vegetables?
No, that's
fucked up.
You can't control what the random food is.
Yeah.
I eat anything.
No, you say that,
but like
anything's a big menu, dog.
Right, but at the end of the day.
Yeah, but then I can, it's not like they're going off menu.
Jake, just, you don't know that.
What? There's only so many.
Jake just orders again. He just goes again. He's like rolling.
He
the, hits
Chili's
the spinner
and he gets
again.
Like Rocky Mountain oysters. He's like, what the fuck is this?
Order hits, again. It's
he's like, hit me. Hit me. Hit me.
This is the McLiver and onion sandwich. Then, all right, enjoy.
Exactly. No, I'm with Jake. That's an easy decision. Like, if you're at Chili's, if you get the wrong thing, it's you're still at fucking
you're still probably
you
safe.
I mean?
You're still at Chili's.
Which, by the way, I hate Chili's.
Whoa.
I,
have you been in a while?
I know.
Have you been in a while?
No.
They revamped the menu.
What do you hate about bottomless margaritas
so,
and queso?
Dude,
seriously.
Honey Chipotle Chicken
I
Crispers.
I hate Chili's because
the brand new burgers are great.
That was the only place my parents were willing to go when I was a kid. Because it's like it's
affordable,
decent,
nice.
And affordable for a family as well.
2 for $20.
Exactly. So I have since, as an adult, like,
I hate Applebee's.
Oh, I think I've been there once, and I don't think I've stepped foot since.
I think I was there once, hated it, was like, okay, try it again, second time,
your family.
Awful. And I might have had it a third time after that, but
no,
never good.
Never again.
Never good. I actually had this conversation the other day. I'm surprised they're not dead, but then I remember there was that country song. I was like, that probably gave them some life.
What was the country song?
Just drive through Indiana, dude. Like, you can
people hit, without standards, yeah. They'll eat anything.
Ass.
Yeah?
I'm just throwing it out there.
Anyone?
Just, dude,
just throwing it out there.
These new chili burgers, just, or these new Chili's burgers are no joke, dude.
I maybe
they revamped the menu.
I think
they
I
got
a gift
real,
card.
They got
honestly,
real
that's
beef
just been sitting. I don't
bro, I've been one time and
dog,
just
are
tell
you,
you
payroll?
No, my God.
Are you part of the marketing?
No
team?
Free ads, but one of those burgers. Fuck
that's
me
an easy
up.
One. All right, moving on.
Guys, let's get into some schmegments. All right, we'll go.
Would you rather spend 24 hours in a Chili's? No.
I wouldn't mind. Let's do Not That Guy. Producer Jake, who's this week's Not That Guy?
Fucking. I mean,
you,
for me,
falling for this,
for believing again
for
and again,
believing.
Every single White Sox staff member and fan. I don't know. We all suck. I'm just,
no, you don't.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
Do you endorse fully selling off right now? Like Eloy Lubob, see ya. Cause at this point there's no point or.
You know what really hurt me was them trading Jake Berger.
You know, that's how we got here.
That one,
honestly, that would have been like the Cubs not moving anyone and then moving David Bodie. Like what? Like boats?
Well,
that's the
well,
one.
How much
like Jake Berger is the one
about
that needs
it.
To go.
Think about it. Like Jake Berger was like a promising young player
draft,
that got
sure,
super hurt and
sure.
He's barely got
drafted
Jake
by
Berger.
The team. Tore his Achilles.
Was out.
Rehabbed. Came back. Toured again.
Yeah.
Went out again.
How many games have you gotten with
came
him?
Back.
Question stands.
Fought tooth and nail to be the third. Like, he's the one. Like, I give a fuck about any. Like, nobody has a personality on this team. Even Luis Robert, who halfway through the season, everybody's like, oh, he could be MVP. No personality.
Same
order no personality.
Plus 12,000.
No there personality is. Whatsoever. And on top of that, you know, plenty of guys in the league don't, but even Shohei has a personality and he doesn't speak English. Like, it's like he has no interest to be in front of the camera or do an interview. Like, I don't care. Who do you care about on this team? It was Jake Berger, and then they just dumped his ass.
You see, Berger after his first
I'm
game
sorry,
with the Marlins said, "This is the most fun I've had all season."
Fucked up.
Did he say that?
Well, dude,
oh,
they
dude,
also had a
awful.
they had a burger. They had $5 burgers his first game.
Were they from Chili's?
Oh,
no.
Like if I were a professional athlete and like if I were a ball player and my first game with a team, they did like dollar dogs.
How many would you eat?
I'd pay for them. The whole stadium. Take it out of my contract.
They put it on the billboard.
Let the fans know. I put my money. Like, if you're making $20 million a year, why not? Spend $10,000 on hot dogs,
like, I
you
love
fucking
here.
Idiot.
I love this shirt.
I've got six in my mouth. Playing for his base. I've got a pocket dog.
He's in the on-deck circle trying to shovel him down his gullet.
Hold on.
The last player we gave a burger to hit a home run on a 3-0 pitch against a player pitcher.
You're mean.
And we never saw him again.
Awesome.
Sammy Stats. Who's this week's Not That Guy?
My Not That Guy this week is none other than the terrible Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, he's bad.
He's
he fucked up again, believe it or not.
His worst fucking one.
This might be a bad one.
What's his last name?
Kellerman.
Kellerman, he's fucking bad too.
Yeah, no, Cowherd, like, Kellerman doesn't hold a candle to Cowherd. He's that bad.
He's
so unaware.
What happened?
So what happened was he put out a list of quarterbacks that could never win a Super Bowl, and one of the quarterbacks that he had on that list, was Dwayne Haskins. And this was live on the air,
guys. What's relevant about Dwayne Haskins? A year ago. So technically, Colin's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Dwayne can't win a Super Bowl.
He's not wrong.
By the way.
But he was serious.
That's like saying right now that Nathan Peterman's never going to be a Super Bowl MVP.
That's
like,
that's a little different.
Peterman
has a shot.
Well, no, what I mean is like, even if you think that
it's more than zero.
Yeah, exactly. So what I mean is even if you think that Dwayne Haskins is alive, like, he's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback if he's
just leave him off the list.
Yeah, it's bad.
Just don't include him.
There's got to be a lot of people like Colin, and even though Colin sucks, like, this one's probably not on Colin, but like, somebody's fired.
A producer,
like a graphics person, an EP.
Dude, he's fucking Anchorman.
Yeah, it's Anchorman.
Who put that on the teleprompter?
He'll read anything.
He's just a warm body. He's not smart.
It's a bad one. Guys, my Not That Guy this week, I experienced it firsthand. My Not That Guy is massholes.
Awesome. Very real.
Oh, my God. So massholes are basically assholes from Massachusetts. The entire state, if you are given a driver's license.
People that live in Massachusetts.
Dude, if you were given a driver's license in the state of Massachusetts, you were like, you must have signed a contract that said, like, I just need to drive like the biggest asshole in the world.
It's a license to dick.
Dude, they pull in front of you. Dude, there are people in a turning lane where you'll literally be going 40, 45 miles an hour, and they'll just go in front of you. And it's almost like a hit me. Hit me, cocksucker, hit me. And I can just imagine, like, you hit one of them, and it's like, you fucking cocksucker, really fucking
hit me?
In my fucking mother's car?
In my mother's car?
So, massholes for just being, like, just the absolute worst type of people to share the road with. Like, that was a not fun part of the trip, but the only not fun part. So, massholes is my Not That Guy.
Massholes.
So, for me this week... People,
you fucking cocksucker.
What a great fucking, you know. Anyway,
it's better with the accent. Like, if we said it,
like, if
like
I, yeah, it doesn't knock? Hit with me. That's why I knock? Didn't say it.
Well, especially because exactly. if you hit them, you know, they're coming out of the car like, did you really fucking hit me? You fucking cocksucker.
And you're going to have to smell his breath because he's going to get right there and you're going to have to be right there.
And he's going to have Dunkin' Donuts breath. Yeah. Like, right in your mouth. Oh
my God.
And he's going to spit on your car.
I'm not.
He's like, I'm not. I'm outside.
That's Dale, sorry.
All right. So, people that say, when you are walking two dogs, people that say, like, oh, that is a beautiful dog. Like, single out the one dog. So, it just happened this weekend.
Did your dog get called ugly or cute?
So I've never been on the receiving end of this. Willie was walking with Boo Boo, who's a golden retriever, and we were St. Joe's in Benton Harbor, which
profiled.
Is
he got profiled.
A lot of my people, know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Willie did not receive it. Oh, the golden's such a cute dog. I literally went, hey. I said it and pointed to Willie, and the lady starts laughing. Says he's such a beautiful dog. He has such a precious dog.
My son.
So we happened to walk past her again like an hour later, and she goes out of her way to stop me and go, "Sir, you have a beautiful dog." So, people that do that, not that guy.
You just got blessed your little heart.
Exactly.
Bless your heart, lady.
No, bless Willie your little heart.
No, to you. Yes. That was pointed at you the second time around.
It was hilarious. Yeah.
You have a beautiful dog, bitch. That's what she said.
Hey, fuck you.
That's what she said.
Dale, running back. Who can or cannot dog sit your beautiful dog, William?
Dog sitting for me this week is the Guardians affiliate team. the Cleveland Guardians, league team, who are having Jose Ramirez Appreciation Week, among things including fans named Tim gets seats in the grass for free as he got sat down.
Are they giving out
There's
Hulk
a
hands?
Home run punch derby. They are.
Are they serving like
they
an
are
alcohol,
laying it on
like a punch thick. Beverage?
Oh, it's bad.
Like Hawaiian punch night.
I think it's their double A team. Buddy. I couldn't find for sure if it's their double A or something like that. But
did you fact check that it was real?
It's real. No, this is a real thing.
I glanced over it on Twitter. I was like, ha!
Of course you didn't.
That's
funny.
It's real.
Moving on.
So I saw it, and it was just the fans named Tim gets seat in the grass for free.
Yeah.
But it turns out there's like three or four more things that they're doing, and they're very funny. Whoever is the marketing manager for that affiliate team, you could watch the marketing manager give him a few tips.
Guys, who can or cannot dog sit for me? Who is not dog sitting? Is the remaining coaching staff at Northwestern University, because I don't know if you
what
guys
happened now?
I don't know if you guys saw this today. Today was either first day of practice or something like that. It was like opening week for practices, and the coaching staff that was remaining came out today in what is looking like an organized, like they're all making a statement together, and it's a shirt, and on the t-shirt it said Cats Against the World.
No.
And on the back, it had 51 because Pat Fitzgerald was number 51.
It's wrong message.
You
wrong message.
Deaf idiots.
They missed.
How
they
many
missed.
Guys, I've preached it for 81 episodes, and I will preach it for 81 more. Optics! Guys, how can you possibly think that this was okay? Like, just a big fuck you to all of the people who were actually hurt in this, but you just being a good old boy and a follower, like you need to make sure that you make the stance. Like, hey, that's my guy. That's my guy right there. We got his back. Like, you guys are lucky that you still have jobs to begin with, and then you do shit like this. If I was in charge, those key fobs wouldn't have worked yesterday.
Is there no one, when these types of things happen, like we're talking about the Northwestern coaching staff, Northwestern, notable, good, smart people. I don't know about good, but smart people, like really smart people. Did no one in that group think to go, hold on, just to be clear, we decided our stance is we're going to side with the guy who was knowingly or unknowingly, like outwardly protecting people. Like, they said, oh, yeah, no, we heard all that. We read it all.
But that's our fucking boy.
Ride or fucking die.
It's my fucking boy. You're my boy, Blue.
Exactly. Like, guys, this isn't college where it's funny or, like, these aren't, like, small children. It's never – none of it's funny. But, like, I don't understand how you as a coaching staff, a bunch of grown adults, a lot of them probably having kids – that could be in those situations go, yeah, no, I'll side with that. That's the message that I'm comfortable sending.
Order me an XL.
Jesus, I just don't get it. Stupidity. But
not watching my dogs. Then you guys should get fired. So, Sam, who can or cannot dog sit for you?
That makes me want to make shirts. But not dog sitting for me, or dog sitting for me this week, is the umpire during the Tim Anderson, Jose Ramirez kerfuffle. Because he is responsible, and we all know it.
He is not. No, I will vehemently disagree with you. If I am a
take my dog away from the danger,
presumably 50-year-old plus umpire, and 2 30-year-old professional athletes are going to start throwing hands. The fuck am I going
exactly?
To
that's what he said.
You guys
he's
are saying the same thing. He's responsible.
I'm saying he's not responsible for the fight.
He's responsible for getting out of there.
Fight.
And keeping
he's
your dog
a responsible
safe.
Individual.
Sorry, I misunderstood your use of the word responsible.
He
that is
a
on
responsible
me. I apologize.
Person. Sorry.
I respect
sorry.
Your take, and
thank
I
you.
Agree with your take.
Thank you. I think he's. Yeah.
I apologize.
Take respect.
Take respect.
Take respect.
Take respect.
Take respect. Take respect.
That doesn't happen much here.
With a 51 on the back.
Yeah.
It's
no.
Me. It's me. I'm watching dogs.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hi.
Jake going back to back.
Jake's the problem.
Just got done watching Marcos's dog. I got Frankie tomorrow.
Frankie!
Got the good boy.
Are you getting paid for this?
Good boy coming into town.
No.
Just good vibes. Just in love.
It's like moving your friends. Shh, don't get paid.
You sign up for this.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that one down
the road. Oh, Jeffy.
Yeah.
Guys, anything else you want to get into? Then that is a wrap on episode 81. Guys, again, all the socials. It's a blast being back. Having fun. Keep on coming back. Tell your friends about it because this is a blast. See Red. Bears. Bear down. Bears. Bears. Love you guys.
Bears.
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 Bears. Bears.
Jake eats the whole thing.
It's bad. It's so bad. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
She ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. The boys are back.
Not that guy.
Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. How big are you on sports? Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk.
Bears.
Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay. Feel me mine.
I watched all the tape. Watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but then get the hell out of the chair.
The best friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos. Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
What? Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude.
Football guys. Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, never. Your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love celebrating. Yes,
the Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.